Okay. Don't be intimidated by that, new folks. We record the conferences for later reference, and the recording of the conference is made available to all the participants. But that's just to help our secretary so she can refer back if there's any question about what was decided or whatever.
Brought to you by the NSA.
No, it's a free conference. It's a free feature of Free Conference Pro. So anybody else that is interested in doing a phone conference for any reason, these things are absolutely free except for the long-distance charges that people pay to log on. And other than that, it offers free recording of the teleconference as well. Okay, who is here on the call?
Jeffrey.
Jeffrey Orling?
Roger that.
Okay. Got him, Anna? Anna?
I do.
Okay, who else just came on the call?
My name is David Arnold. I'm in St. Louis, Missouri with Don Stahl.
Wow. We definitely have a St. Louis heavy population today.
Welcome, David.
Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Well, I'll go ahead and run through the names real quick just in case there is someone on the line. I'll just do first names just for. We have Ken, Rich, Shelton, Paul, Glory, Gabriel, Robin, Sheila, Anna, Don, George, Jeffrey, and David. Anyone we didn't name.
Great. Okay, then I guess we're ready to get started. The first thing that we need to do is, my name is Ken Freeland. I'll be facilitating tonight. The first thing we need to do is to adopt the minutes of the previous meeting as circulated by Anna and posted by Jonathan. Does anybody have any objection to the approval of those minutes? Hearing no objections, and those minutes are approved. Now we move on to tonight's agenda. Does anybody have a addition or a deletion for the agenda for tonight?
Add something. This is Sheila Casey.
I'd like to
add a discussion about what happened, what we see happening up in the Toronto hearings. Specifically, the kind of disturbing news that we got from Paul Zaremka about how he was sort of summarily dismissed once he asked questions about the Flight 77 flight path. I don't have a specific goal for this discussion. I just think it's something that we should address.
Okay. How many minutes would you like for that discussion?
How about 15?
15 minutes. I'll put it right after Paul's proposal. Okay.
You know, I don't think I saw the item for Paul's proposal. Maybe I missed that. But
an ongoing item. It's been on the agenda twice, but we haven't gotten to it.
Oh, I see it. Proposal to limit and qualify routine updates. Okay.
Uh-huh. So okay, does anybody have an objection to adding Sheila's item to the agenda?
Time permitting is okay by me.
Hearing no objections, then we'll add that the Paul Zaremka Toronto issue for 15 minutes.
Am I
minutes.
Being heard?
I just
had a. I was trying to get through on the buttons and it wasn't working. I was muted.
Okay.
So who's speaking? George Ripley here. I'm looking at the agenda that was presented to us, and we've got something for 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. 15 minutes is an awful long time to be talking about this issue. I don't know that we need 15 minutes. Maybe 7 to 15 minutes, but.
Would you like to make a counterproposal?
Yeah, 7 to 15 minutes, depending on, I don't want to drag it on.
Any objections to making it 7 to 15?
Well, okay. I guess we could say 7 to 15, and then see, how does that work then? What happens at 7 minutes?
I guess at 7 minutes we make a decision whether we want to continue for the rest of the time or not. That's how we would probably do it. But we will allot 15 for it because that's the way it's sitting in the proposal right now.
Okay, that sounds good to me.
Okay. No, hearing objections, I'll add that to the agenda. Any other additions or subtractions from the agenda?
Yes. Is Gabriel out there? I'd like to suggest we spend 5 minutes just getting updates on significant events around the 10th anniversary coming up here in North America.
Okay. There is an agenda item called Review of the Present State of the 9/11 Truth Movement, which actually also originally had added to it plans for a September 11th anniversary commemoration. So since you're reminding us about the need for that discussion, I'll go ahead and put a 10-minute reserve for that, okay? And that way we'll be sure to have at least 10 minutes if anybody has anything specific to contribute to that one. And it's actually 10 minutes plus. If we have more than 10, we'll use it more than 10, but that's the last item on the agenda.
In the desire to consolidate time where we can, the report, Sheila has requested 5 minutes on the debate between pro-CIT and anti-CIT partisans, and wouldn't that also fall in underneath the other discussion that she wants to have? Couldn't we consolidate those two?
The reason it doesn't is because Sheila's reporting back as a committee of one to this group, okay? She was supposed to do something, and this is just a report back from her. So it's very brief, but it is different from the issue with Paul. Okay.
Thank you for clarifying.
You're welcome. Okay. Any other questions or comments regarding the agenda? If not, then I think we should go ahead and proceed. The first item on the agenda is update on the Citizens 9/11 Commission. Are any of the people here from that group? Is anybody here from?
Yes, I am. George Ripley.
George. Okay.
In that case, shouldn't we be putting a time limit on that one?
Sheila, that's right. That was an oversight on my part. But I wanted to make sure somebody was here first.
I think that Bell would be with us.
Yeah. Would you like to make a suggestion as to how many minutes to devote to that update?
How about 5 minutes?
All right. We'll put 5 down there. If we need more, anybody can make a motion to continue it, okay? So go ahead, George.
Okay, Senator just called me today from Oregon, and he's just met with the chief counsel for the department that handles ballot initiatives, and the chief counsel has expressed an interest and desire to push this through himself. So. Mike is looking for a result from Oregon, a draft document, at least within 2 weeks, maybe sooner. And then I was talking to him about a young fellow who's wanting to intern with us and is excited about presenting the concept to college campuses. And so since Mike is from there in August or September going to Boston, this kid was raised in Boston. We'll have him be Mike's personal assistant, travel assistant, when Mike goes and scheduler for college campus tour in Boston. Because I would assume that once Mike gets the Oregon document of the petition language, he will take that with him to Massachusetts to present that as an example. And again, he is a world expert in ballot initiatives, so he will get the red carpet treatment wherever he goes, no doubt.
That'll make it pick up.
I'm sorry?
I didn't say anything.
Oh, okay. I guess everybody's muted, so.
Oh, can you hear me, George?
Yeah.
Just a question to Chief Counsel. Who was that for? Chief Counsel from where?
The state of Oregon.
Okay. So was it, so the Chief Counsel, is that a state Chief Counsel or is that a city?
No, it would be. It would. I can't remember which bureau or agency Mike was getting his official legislative counsel. It was the Office of Legislative Counsel.
Okay. Because he was focusing on Portland, Oregon, so I wonder if it would be more associated with Portland than the whole state. Just didn't know.
No, it's a state initiative that we'll have.
Okay,
Yeah,
of Oregon, then. Okay. Mm-hmm. Also, the when is Mike Gravel touring to going to Massachusetts?
It's August or September at some point.
Is it a planned? It's not quite the date. It's not set.
No, no.
Okay.
It's still.
Okay.
Still up in the air, but. Yeah.
So is the Chief Counsel in Oregon going to help articulate the language?
Yes, and, exactly.
Okay, and is this petition language, is this for the power of, what was it, the...
No, the power-sharing agreements will occur between jurisdictions, be they state or metropolitan or county jurisdictions throughout the country, with the original jurisdiction which passes such a petition, a ballot initiative. If the state of Oregon, for example, passes this, or the state of Colorado or Alaska or Massachusetts or North Dakota or wherever we might be, the first state to pass this or the first states to pass this will join with what are called joint powers agreements.
Right.
And they will accept a joint subpoena powers and so forth for such a commission. And but that's after, of course, the ballot initiative itself.
Okay.
We have to put this on the ballot. So first of all, we have to raise an army, essentially. I call it an army. I kind of want to stay away from militaristic language. But basically, we want to build our base. We have to demonstrate that we've got popular support for such a thing. And to do that, we're asking $10 donation from 10,000 people, which will give us some money to operate with, travel expenses and so forth. So we hope to quickly raise, maybe in 2 months, raise support from demonstrated financial support in the form of $10 donation from 10,000 people, and we could use the help of every single person on this phone call. So let me give the website. It's there's a couple of them we can give you. I find citizens911commission.com to be the most memorable, but the official one is actually 9-11cc.org. But citizens911commission.com will get you there too. I want to encourage you all to see Senator Mike Gravel in a speech he gave to Humanities Hall in Oakland, California on May 19th. It's 36 minutes. It's on the front page right up in the upper right-hand corner, a picture of him standing at the podium. I will say the production quality and the content are masterpieces. It is a beautiful film of Mike speaking in the most gentle and yet earnest tone about this program for really a new democracy, a citizens-involved democracy, and specifically on this 9/11 issue. It's just, I'm so pleased to be able to forward this to my family, really. It explains it in the most beautiful way.
Robbie Boyd with a comment.
You said it's available on the website?
Yeah, it's on the website. It's the Humanities. It was speeches at the Humanities Hall in Oakland, California, on the 19th of May, with Bob Bowman and Richard Gage was also presenting.
Okay. Before we get to comments, we're out of time. The time allotted for this. So, would anybody care to request an extension of time for comments and questions?
I do, Robin Hood.
Susanna Yisley, I'd like to, I'd like to ask for an extension.
Anybody opposed to another 5-minute extension? If not, then
what if we make it 3 minutes?
Okay, well, we have a proposal for 3 minutes.
If we finish sooner than 5 minutes, then let's so be it. This is kind of our most important, I believe, one of the most important issues on the agenda, the Citizen 9/11 Commission ballot. So I'd like to ask a few questions, and I'd rather go to 5 minutes. If we don't go that long, then fine. We've already wasted 1 minute talking about that.
Anybody opposed to 5 minutes? Okay. So I'll start the clock over again. And who was the first person that made request
Robin
to make
Horton.
A comment?
Robin
and then Anna. Robin and then Anna. Go ahead, Robin.
Yes. Just some more information that George hasn't shared. He probably knows. But in any event, after some significant loud complaints to some of the leaders of this organization, the word citizens is going to be put up front and very prominent. And regarding the two websites talked about, dump the latter and continue to use the former, Citizens 9/11. That's just the way will be. It's going to be what's happening in the next 10 years.
Robin, could you explain that a little, clarify now, with loud complaints regarding what?
I made loud complaints regarding the renaming of the initiative and having it be misinterpretable as being in support of the original 9/11 commission. Because they buried the word citizens somewhere, and I just complained. I said, you've got to get citizens out front. I think, George, you made that point too. And in any event, there has been a change as of this afternoon.
Great. I applaud that.
Okay. Anna, did you have a comment? Of course.
I wanted to know, George, did you have the name of that chief counsel in Oregon? I'm sure
no.
I could look it up, but okay.
No. Chief legislative counsel.
Now, getting back to the ballot initiative language, you also mentioned something about a petition. Are we talking about the same thing?
Yeah.
And okay, so when we talk ballot initiative, are we also talking petition? If you say petition language, are we also talking about the ballot initiative? And I suppose the ballot initiative itself has to have a petition within it. Is that
correct? That's
correct.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. And anyone else have a comment or a question on this subject?
Yeah, I do. This is Sheila Casey.
Go ahead, Joe.
Now, George, I know you were extremely upset about the reaction that this got on 9/11 Blogger, but I looked through it, and as much as I do not respect most of the people over there, I thought that they raised some good questions.
Yeah, and we put that I put that into an email on the website, you know, in response to John, whatever his last name is, I forget,
Right.
John Wright, yeah.
Well, could you address them here? I'll just raise, you know, there's five questions that are listed here. And, you know, honestly, I do not have enough legal background to know whether these are really valid questions. They sound to me like they are, but I can't say for sure that they are, so I'm just raising them.
Did you, by the way, we'll try and rush through this. It is a lengthy discussion.
Can you send us the link?
It's all
where
on the website. All the communications are on the website.
I know, but where on the website? If you could send us a link.
If you go to the comments that are made on the, there are only two blogs up there. If you go onto the comments there and skim down through, you'll see John Wright's contributions and the responses of the administrator and the responses of the chief.
George,
you know,
is there any reason you can't send us the link?
I'll put it in the minutes. I'll put it in the draft minutes. So the link.
Thank you, Anna. Thank you very much, Anna. Okay.
At any rate, John Wright is we have had some. It became something that had to be dealt with rapprochement. We've had a rapprochement and. He's actually apologized, but you know, it, basically the upset came because he had a lot of good questions, but he was being very insistent and adamant and aggressive, And we're just a small group of people who are trying to do the best we can. And we really feel we're under a time crunch because there was some disappointment from the original effort to raise money. And so that caused a letdown in attention, paying attention to it. And as time passed, I became worried that the effort would slip between the cracks before the 10th anniversary. I wanted to launch this thing. I feel that time is right. The tipping point is here. The population on both sides of the aisle is just, you know, irate. And people are ready for this. So.
Okay, but how are we going to get, how does Anna know what the link is? Are you going to send it to Anna?
It's citizens911commission.com. We'll get you there. And then the blogs are all right there on the front page. And the comments to the blogs, I think there's 45 or something last night when I looked. And
but still, if there's a specific comment that you want us to see.
Anna will locate it, and she'll let everybody know how to find it. Okay, we don't want to take a lot of time up with that right now. Okay, anything else?
Okay, I will look through there, and if I have additional questions, I'll come back. But I will assume that those questions are answered in the blog.
Because the questions are posed in the blog. We're trying to get things done, and it's taking time. I mean, we're under all kinds of pressures, just a few of us, and I'm not technical at all. So, you know, we're in the catch-22 of having to raise money to make this thing happen, and so we're just caught. You know, the whole thing is coming together organically, and it takes time. And you know, questions are good. Questions are great. So. Keep us going with valid questions, and we're not afraid of answering them.
Okay, good.
Okay, that takes care of our 5 minutes. Unless anybody wishes to continue this, we should move on. Anybody have a request to continue this discussion? Okay. Thanks very much for all that updating, George. And Jonathan, did you make it on the call yet? All right, just to let people know, Jonathan is desperately trying to get on this call, and it's not recognizing his passcode, even though he's using the same one that the rest of us use. I was just talking to him. I ended up having to leave the line for a bit there. And so
are you telling
him
that the passcode has changed, that it's now 9/11/2001? Because
yeah, he told me what he was using. He told me he was using the right passcode. So that's not it. The issue is apparently there's some kind of selection going on because last week, didn't you, Sheila, and Jeffrey ended up in a separate call, right?
It was Anna and Jeffrey.
Anna and Jeffrey. I'm sorry, yeah.
Jonathan who?
Jonathan Mark.
No,
nope,
that was a joke.
Okay. Uh-huh. Okay, so anyway, let's move on to the next thing here. Jonathan, I guess we'll be content to hear the recording of our meeting. Report on the possibility of debate between pro-CIT and anti-CIT partisans. Sheila was appointed by us to examine that, and she's going to give us a report now. Go ahead, Sheila.
Okay. Basically, what I'm back here to say is that I don't think that we should be putting any more energy into this. There's been a standing offer for years now to that Craig Ranke has said he will debate any of them anytime. He will come to where they are. He will pay his own airfare and his own expenses if they are willing to do a debate. They've refused him many times, and that offer that he's put out has been, you know, publicly stated and is on the web in numerous locations. So I decided in March to take a different approach and to attempt to get them to do a written debate in the pages of the Rock Creek Free Press. And I extended an offer one at a time to people who I thought best represent the anti-CIT contingent. And those are Jim Hoffman, Victoria Ashley, Frank Legg, and David Chandler. And the offer that I made to them was that I'll read you a little bit of the offer just so you know how it was proposed to them. I said, in the interest of shedding light on a subject of much interest in the truce community, we propose a 3,000-word piece in a printed debate format. You will write 500 words stating your position about what happened at the Pentagon. Craig Ranke will also write 500 words, both sent to me via email. I will forward your words to Craig and his to you, and you will both then have 500 words to respond, rebut the other's point of view. Those 500 words are also exchanged, and you have a final 500 words to rebut his rebuttal and make your closing statement. You needn't concern yourself with how your piece will be edited, as we will proof only for spelling and punctuation. Your words will remain as you wrote them. In order to be absolutely impartial, you will be responsible for your own word count, and if you submit, say, 503 words, those last three words will be cut. You are not, however, obligated to use your entire 500-word allotment. We also invite you to submit two images of any kind, photo, map, diagram, which help illustrate your points with a caption of up to 20 words for each. These should be submitted with your first 500 words so the other party can respond, rebut in the second and third installments. We will make every effort to give both points of view equal weight in terms of font size, size of images, etc. We believe that this will provide an excellent opportunity for our readers to understand the arguments about what happened at the Pentagon. Since you recently published a, quote, joint statement about the Pentagon with John Cole, I know that this is a subject of intense interest to you. I look forward to your response. If you are interested, I will reply with three deadlines for each of the three installments, each a few days apart. Best regards, Sheila Casey. Sent from my Rock Creek Free Press email account. So that was the offer made to all of these people. They all refused. I had a back and forth with David Chandler where he simply said that he has no intention of engaging CIT in debate because he considers their work fraudulent. And I said, look back, David, isn't most of your reputation based on exposing the fraudulence of the NIST explanation of the collapse of WTC-7? A debate with CIT would give you an opportunity to expose them as well, would it not? And, clearly I really wanted this to happen, and he wrote back saying, no, he won't do it. So I guess I feel at this point we would be more, our time would be better spent maybe publicizing the fact that, and making people aware of the fact that the anti-CIT faction refuses to debate anyone from CIT, and either in a printed format or in a public forum, and that's pretty much how it stands. I don't think there's further energy that we can put into it.
Sheila, when did you receive these responses?
You want to hear the exact responses?
No. When did you hear them? When did you receive them?
This was in March of this year.
Well, but you were charged by this group to...
No, I know, and that's what I'm saying is that my decision that I came back with is that I don't feel that at this point that we should be pursuing this because this, I don't think that we're going to get a different answer. I think that when I look at everything that's already been done and... But you
proposed, you were the original proposer.
I was, and then I wrote back, and actually I wrote to the group saying that I have decided that I don't think it's worth our energy to make a, to further try to create a debate.
Okay, well, then I guess that where that leaves us is that you're reporting back with a proposal to disband the effort. That should then be put to a vote. So does anybody wish to speak for or against the proposal that Sheila
Robin
offered?
Horton?
Robin, go ahead.
Sheila, congratulations. This is a good decision. My advice would be if you want to bring it back up again in some fashion, do it after the 10th anniversary here. We should go with what we have got, and any efforts along these lines to either have a debate or whatever, I believe, should be framed in the concept of what I have proposed and put out there called friendly fences, which allows several avenues of investigation from different angles just to proceed without any internal hostilities, which does nothing but hurt us inside. So that's a good choice, Sheila, to table that, and so we can move on. This is good news.
Does anybody wish to speak against Sheila's proposal to drop this effort?
Who was speaking before Ken? That was Robin
Horton. That was Robin Horton.
Thank you, Robin.
Horton.
Okay.
All right, does anybody wish to speak against Sheila's proposal? If not, then I guess we'll consider the question moot and move on. Proposal to limit and qualify routine updates. This is Paul Zaremka's proposal. That's been on our agenda for 2 weeks. I apologize to Paul that it's taken us this long to get to it, but of course, with all the exciting things happening with the 9/11 Citizens Commission, it's kind of understandable that a few things got put to the background. So I will read it aloud. Or Paul, why don't you go ahead and read it, your proposal.
Can I interject just a minute to thank Sheila for a really great report?
No, thank you, George.
Sure.
I would also like to say, Sheila, could you send me a link to that proposal that you sent regarding the debate? Because in the future, it may be a good idea. You know, we're talking about having a Pentagon debate or a Pentagon panel in Washington, D.C. I mean, George and I have spoken about it. You know, that might be maybe we could revisit the issue like what was decided after the 10th anniversary. So I'd like to have that proposal. That sounds pretty reasonable.
Well, I put a lot of time into it, thinking how to make it fair and make it workable for everybody, but it didn't work.
So
someone would have to go first, don't you think, Sheila? Someone would have to go first. Maybe I missed it, but someone would have to put forward an argument first, and then the other person would respond. You wouldn't really ask for two arguments at the same time.
Point of order.
Your point of order accepted. We're getting way off the track. There has been a request, though, Sheila, for you to send a text to Anna. I guess you want to put it in the minutes, Anna, or what?
I'd be happy to send it to you, Anna.
Okay.
Okay.
Just my own information. Okay. I can put
it in the minutes. I'll send it to the 9/11 telecon.
It's time to move on to the next item. Thank you for the report, Sheila. And Paul, would you like to read your proposal, please?
Yes, I will read my proposal. Just make a one-sentence comment before I do it. This is just basically a housekeeping thing that I'm trying to regularize how the beginning of these teleconferences occur. So let me read what I wrote and what I'm proposing. Reports for persons involved in a 9/11 organization will be placed, this is our reports now, will be placed at the beginning of the meeting after approval of minutes and the agenda and would not include naming individuals but rather their organizations. Time allocated shall not be more than 10 minutes total. Organizations that have not reported for 3 consecutive meetings shall not be listed in the proposed agenda for the next meeting. Organizations may be included by a majority vote of participants to a teleconference at the time the proposed agenda is discussed and adopted. That's my proposal.
Seconded by Robin.
Seconded by Robin. Okay, does anybody wish to...
Just a minute. Just in case we don't have an individual that is not affiliated or is just an individual not affiliated, what do you propose then? And then not to be mentioned?
Do you want me to answer? I just think that we have to get away from personality cults, and if that should eventuate, then we just amend the agenda to say the specific person, but I don't think it should be the policy. The policy should be about organizations, not about people, not about named people.
I don't really agree, but I don't have any real reason to, but I don't understand why would we not want to present ourselves as people, and why would you prefer to be an organization rather than an individual? Because then what you say reflects on your would reflect on your organization. I suppose it should, but is that what you want?
Well, let's give an example tonight. We've had Senator Grodel listed on the agenda several times, but he couldn't show up tonight. But George did show up, okay? So George is representing that organization, and that's the way it should be. You state the organization, and the organization decides who they want to represent.
Well, yeah, but we want transparency in terms of who it was that might have represented or misrepresented the organization.
Sure. I mean, they will have to say who they are. George said who he was.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Okay. Does anybody wish to speak against this proposal?
This is Anna Yaiza, because I'm taking the minute. It's important for me to, you know, be clear. So you're saying instead of a roll call, during the roll call, we don't mention names, we just mention organizations?
No. This has nothing to do with roll call, Anna. This has to do only with when we have updates scheduled from particular groups. In the past, we've had them from individuals rather than groups. Paul wants it to be clarified that they would be from groups only rather than from individuals.
Okay.
And that that person be accountable to their group for what they say.
Of course.
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else? Anybody want to speak against the proposal? If not, does anybody wish? Then does anybody object to this proposal as it's stated? If not, then it's adopted by consensus. Okay. Now we've had on the agenda for some time an agreement to discuss the current state of the 9/11 truth movement and upcoming anniversary plans. We only have about 20 minutes left in the call, so this has to be pretty strictly limited to about 9 minutes, I would say. Does anybody have an announcement regarding upcoming anniversary celebrations or commemorations to discuss, to let's know about, or does anybody wish to make a comment about the state of the 9/11 truth movement? Floor is open.
Throw Robin in there in the queue.
Robin, you're first. Go ahead.
Well, overall, I am absolutely thrilled at the position that we are in within the 9/11 Truth Movement for what I will consider the next decade of activism. And the reason that I am is we have got a lot of good information, much of it, some of it resolved, some of it unresolved, and we are just starting to get into social media. I'm looking very much forward to the proper positioning and placement of 9/11 Blogger at the back of the train and being replaced by much more objective and much more effective communications nexi. Additionally, one of the things that I think could be really, really helpful based on the phone calls that I've teleconferences that I've been on, is there's a group, I haven't heard of them in a while, who are marching to Washington, who are putting something on in November, I believe it's on Veterans Day or relationship to a holiday, in Washington, D.C., close to the Pentagon. I think this is a phenomenal opportunity to create a space, time, energy, and focus on dealing with what will be the longest-running research and analysis and issue in the 9/11 Truth Movement, and that is indeed what happened to American 77 and the Pentagon. I liken it to an outfit called COPA that I had originally thought was Committee on Presidential Assassinations, but actually it's Committee on Political Assassinations, and one way or another they get together routinely, and I believe that the hostilities amongst the different factions have diminished and has been replaced by a more collegial sharing of information, expressing of concepts and ideas, and avenues of discussion and consideration, and sharing of information with the objective of moving the entire subject ahead. So, the general view that I'm saying is I think we're really going to start to crank now. As soon as we get outside of 9/11 Blogger and we get onto the social media, I think there's a million-person thing. There's a bunch of different things going on. They're wonderful. And then the second thing, I can't say it enough, I think we have a great opportunity with this group that's doing some work down at the Pentagon. If we can do 9/11 New York City and then we can do American 77 and the Pentagon issue down in Washington, D.C., on an annual basis, we're going to be golden. It's great. We're doing well.
The name of that group, please, that you were talking about, that's going to be marching in D.C.?
I don't know, but you should find it in the minutes here, because I think it was 3 or 4 teleconference calls ago. I've been saving this up for a while. I thought they would chip back in.
It's me. It's either We Are D.C. Or We Are Change D.C., or Truth March, and let's see what other name might they go under. But at least, but yeah.
So Oscar is organizing it.
Oscar
George.
Mosquito is the organizer, and
yeah.
we are planning a march.
This is a separate march than the one that's supposed to go from Pentagon to the New York City, or is it?
No.
Or have they changed their?
No, it's the same one, I'm sure.
Same one. Okay.
Yeah. This is Robin. I am not supporting, nor I do support a march that is 1960s ridiculous waste of energy. I'm saying take advantage of this group of people who have decided to look at something in November. I think it's Veterans Day. I don't know what holiday there is there.
That's the same group.
Yeah, I know. And what I'm saying is forget the march. I don't care about the march. I'm saying let's look at creating this as an annual opportunity to have a discussion about what the heck went on at the Pentagon.
It's the dates of that conference are 11-11-11.
Beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Okay. Anybody else have a comment on this question?
I have a comment to Robin.
Robin, can you put Anna on the schedule too?
It seems as though, I don't think our main issue around the Pentagon
is... Who's speaking, please? Identify yourself.
Oh, this is Sheila Casey.
Sheila, go ahead.
It seems that, Robin, as if you're talking as if we still don't know what happened at the Pentagon, or as if the conflict in the truth movement is a kind of a squabbling or an infighting or something where it's almost just talking about as if it's unruly children who just need to be calmed down and, you know, made to all behave. I see it as completely different. I see it as a group, one group of very courageous people who pretty much came up with what did happen at the Pentagon, and another group who have lost all respect that I ever had for them, and who are behaving really to the detriment of the truth movement, who are doing everything they can to discredit this group, which is CIT. And if Shelton's still on here, I thought, Shelton, are you on here? Maybe not. I thought he was on the call. But I thought that what he wrote about this to the listserv was very well put, that it's been really, we know what happened at the Pentagon. The research has been done, and that we know that the national security state has an incentive to discredit this research, and it seems to me that that is what they're doing. That's what they're attempting to do.
Well, these people are part of the national security state, the Chandler, Cole, and so on and so forth. Is that what you're saying?
I didn't say that, although
well,
I think that that's... I'm saying that we know that there are going to be... We know that there's a strong incentive for the perpetrators of 9/11 to cover up a faked plane crash at the Pentagon. You don't get anything more incriminating than faking a plane crash at the Pentagon. Nothing, stand down, controlled demolition, none of it is as incriminating as faking a plane crash, because that means there's no wiggle room in terms of lie hopping or incompetence. It's absolutely premeditated murder right there at military headquarters. So, of course, that is going to be the thing that they need to most discredit and need to... attempt to simply get the truth movement to move away from that evidence, and I think that's what we're seeing. And I'm not going to give a broad brush stroke to every one of these anti-CIT people, although I think it's fair to say that it looks like the board of directors of Architects and Engineers has many people who are working seriously to discredit the work of CIT. We certainly do see that.
I'd like to be next on the list.
Okay, go ahead, Anna. Nobody else wants to say anything. Go ahead.
Yeah, put Robin back on.
Robin, you're behind Sheila, but I should say we only have about a minute left on this, so I'll try to make it brief.
The 11-11-11, the Veterans Day program that we're trying to put together could include a debate, a Pentagon debate, or I've called it a Pentagon panel, where we could and to debate and discuss and to share evidence. CIT isn't the only group that has evidence, and it would be, you know, it seems to me very enlightening to hear everyone's opinion and not try to knock anybody out of the panel who'd like to be part of it. So,
who else are you thinking of?
Who else was I thinking of? Well,
let's keep order, please.
Yeah, okay, well, we'll put that on the agenda if you'd like to bring that up, and we could call it the Pentagon panel, you know, D.C. 11-11-11 Pentagon panel or something like that, so we know what we're talking about. One last thing was that I just, while I had the floor here, we missed an item on the agenda, and that was Paul.
No, that's next. Yeah, it should have been first, but it's coming up. I'm saving time for
okay.
it. That's why we have to be brief with this one, okay?
Okay, very good.
Sorry about that. And so, Robin, did you want to make a quick comment before we move on?
Yeah, very quickly. I consider myself to be an aviation professional, being a commercial pilot, ex-air traffic controller, and a person who has analyzed and written FAA military procedures. And I will say this. We do not yet know what happened at the Pentagon. We have years of research to do. The Pentagon is withheld more information by the security state than in any other location. So for anybody to say that we know what went on in the Pentagon at this stage is foolhardy.
Okay, thank you. That wraps up that discussion for now, unless anybody wishes to...
Okay, are we ready to move on? Hello?
Hello?
I'm not hearing anything.
I'm not hearing
anything. Nick Ken dropped out.
Thank you.
We're waiting for Paul to speak.
Okay. Is our next issue the one that I brought up about the Toronto hearings?
I guess so. I don't know. I thought Paul was going to, or Paul did say something.
Paul, you're here, right?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, why don't you grab the leadership? I think Ken dropped out.
Sheila put this on the agenda, so maybe she should say what she wants.
Well, Paul, I kind of wanted you to maybe just give us an overview of what happened.
I'll do that.
And then I was hoping Shelton would be on the call, although it sounded as though he's not here anymore, because I thought what he wrote about it was very good, and what Adam wrote about it was good. I happen to know that Cincinnati 9/11 Truth does a weekly TV show that is at this time on Wednesday nights, and that's what Adam is doing, so it makes it hard for us.
I'm on the call, Sheldon. I'm sorry. I tried to unmute, and I think I hit my speaker button off or something.
Hi, Shelton.
No.
Anyway, Paul, do you want to give us an overview of what happened?
Yeah, let me just say, there's four people on the steering committee, only four people, which I think is too low, but anyway, there's four people on the Toronto steering committee, one of whom contacted me, namely Adnan.
This is Ken. I had just got out, so I'm back. Go ahead, Paul.
No, I'm saying that I know Adnan fairly well. We've always had a good relationship. He contacted me over the 4th of July weekend asking me if I...
Paul?
Yes?
Paul, what's happening? I hear
somebody
whispering.
Pause.
Hello?
Paul, keep talking. There seem to be pauses in your presentation. Keep going.
Yeah, there's pauses. Okay, because I'm getting noises on. Okay, so I'll just keep going. Okay, so on July 5th, he's off of the steering committee asking me to be an expert witness, if you want to call it, for a panel session on financial aspects of 9/11. I didn't jump at it because I want to know what I am getting involved with before I ask him four questions, one having to do with who.
Those two questions
were easily answered. I asked two other questions. Is that I was concerned that the conference itself might be, I think it is too tightly organized, that there's no space for anybody other than the steering committee members to invite people to make presentations. So I propose that an hour to an hour and 15 minutes on each panel be allocated to people who the panelists, namely the people who are judging what's going on, agree, have legitimacy for being expert witnesses and let them say whatever they want as a volunteer, not as an invited expert witness, but as a comes in as a volunteer. That was my third point. My fourth point was that there was no discussion about the flight path of AA-77. That kind of feeds into the third point, but the fourth point I considered somewhat more important than the second point. Adnan answered the first two, and then when I answered, then I reminded him of the second two, and suggesting he could pass it on to the steering committee because they were having a conference call 6 days ago in the evening, which he did. And what surprised me is what came back was an email from him, which kind of suggested that I probably was being disinvited altogether from talking about insider trading and financial aspects of 9/11. To confirm that, I kind of ignored it and wrote back and asked how much time I had to give him a positive or negative answer. And the answer to that first came from Kevin Ryan. I don't really want to reproduce that, but it came very fast. I mean, it came like in 23 minutes. He had no time, as far as I could tell, to talk to many other people on the steering committee. And 2 hours after that, Adnan gave me a email, very short email, which made it absolutely clear that the only issue was that I dared to ask why flight path AA-77 was considered inappropriate for the Toronto hearings. That's it. It was explicitly stated that I was disinvited.
Simply because you asked some questions.
Just because I asked a question about something that had not been included, nothing more. I didn't say I won't come if or anything like that. I just asked questions about why.
The steering committee, are all those people, the four people on the steering committee, are they affiliated with the same organization? And what is that organization, if so, or what are the organizations?
There's four people. You probably know most of the names. One of them is Kevin Ryan. Second one is Graham McQueen. The third one is Lori Manuel, who used to, at least I thought was maybe on this. And the fourth one is Adnan Saberi, which I've already mentioned.
Lori Manuel is on this call. Lori, are you still on the call? Would you like to speak?
Yeah, I'm here. Paul and I actually talked earlier in the week.
Well, can you clue us in as to why he was disinvited?
Well, at this point, I can't speak for the whole steering committee, but there were a number of issues that Paul and I discussed that were a little bit above and beyond what he's already mentioned. Right now, we haven't even finished finalizing our witness list, so we're still working on trying to cover a number of issues and trying to invite a number of people. We're waiting on a few invitation acceptances as well, so we haven't even finalized the whole schedule yet. We're still working on it. It's unfortunate what happened here, but Paul and I were talking earlier in the week, and we were hoping to try and resolve this in a positive direction. I just wanted to find out for myself what each of us takes a role in trying to invite people and taking priority over that contact. So we don't know all of the details that go out in every single message. So I just wanted to find out firsthand for myself what was said.
Lori, can I ask what affiliation would you?
I'd like to get on the list to ask her a question if we have a list or how this works.
Yeah. I'm sorry. This is Ken on deck.
Robin on the queue.
All right,
Robin.
On the queue, please.
I'll put you, Robin, behind Anna. I guess Anna, you had a question, right?
Lori, I didn't have an affiliation for you. I have one for everyone else.
I guess the Toronto hearings for right now.
Okay, the Toronto hearings. And would that be the same for the other folk on the steering committee, more or less? They're just really affiliated with the Toronto hearing, and or they may be affiliated with something else.
I'm not sure what you mean. Sorry.
I was just trying to get the idea. The steering committee, is it from one organization, or are there just different people? Any kind of information you can share?
One person that we've recently added to the steering committee, James Gourley, he's the attorney. He founded International Center for 9/11 Studies. which is a sponsoring organization. Does that help?
Yes.
Very much so. Thank you.
Okay, Robin, you want to ask a question?
No, I think I was before Robin, actually.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Sheila.
Yeah, Lori, I was wondering, is there going to be any discussion of Flight 77 in the Pentagon at the hearings?
That I'm not sure of yet. We're still in discussion on it. So as soon as our witness list and draft plans of the 4 days are done, we'll post them immediately on the website. Unfortunately, we've been waiting for quite a few people to answer us back, and so this is making it kind of difficult because there are people that we've invited to cover certain issues, but if they can't come, then we have to find somebody else to fill that role. So that's sort of the pressure we're under at the moment. So
who have you invited to discuss the Pentagon?
I'm not at liberty to give out information about people that we've invited because if they haven't answered back yet. But there are people, like everybody that's already agreed to come and agreed to have their name publicly listed on our website is on the website.
And what is that website?
That's the Toronto Hearings. I think it's just torontohearings.org.
Thank you. Go ahead, Robin.
Yes. Regarding the Toronto hearings, I've written a couple of times, got a message back from them, and I want to make the following point. I had a chance to deal with David Roy Griffin when he visited in Seattle. He let me know that Toronto had not been considering inviting him, and I myself have not been invited, and I feel that myself to be a very competent person on some of the aviation issues and whatever it might be. And now that Paul Zaremko is probably the lead person regarding the put options and the financial situations on 9/11 being disinvited, I think it indicates a very clear point of view that actually is spoken of in, okay, the goals, I believe, of the Toronto hearings, and that is, if it can be interpreted as meaning that the Toronto hearings are going to make a decision as to what is pertinent and what is not pertinent and dismiss the impertinent and only move ahead with what they consider to be the pertinent thing. So once again, I will stand up for the concept of having friendly fences and making everybody in the 9/11 Truth Movement understand that we are nowhere near concluding anything about anything, with perhaps the exception of all of the brilliant work that the architects and engineers and Jones and others have done regarding the building collapses. It is not time to shut down. It's time to celebrate that we are still engaged, still investigating, and we have many miles to go.
Thank you.
Somebody else wanted to make a comment?
I do. I'm looking here on your website. This is Sheila Casey.
Please identify yourself. Identify yourself.
This is Sheila Casey.
Sheila, go ahead.
I guess I thought you knew my voice by now, Ken.
Pretty much.
I'm looking here on your site under witnesses. Are these the people that you – how are witnesses different from panelists? Was Paul invited to be a witness or a panelist?
Oh, that's a good question. Okay, so the panelists are the people who will be sitting and listening to the testimony, and then they will be having a final comment at the end of it, and then we're going to put together a written report with all of the evidence that's been presented.
Could you just give us a really short answer? I have more follow-up questions, so I just wanted a very brief answer, if you could, please.
So the question was, was he
invited as a panelist or a speaker? That was the question.
He was invited as a speaker.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm seeing here under witnesses that you have a big contingent from the WTC group. People who do work around the World Trade Center. You've got Kevin Ryan, who's with Architects and Engineers, Richard Gage with Architects and Engineers, Neil Parrott, who worked with them on having to do with nanothermite, David Chandler and John Cole, and Stephen Jones. That's all related to New York. I don't see anything here at all that's related to the Pentagon or related to Shanksville.
If we invite people and they either don't answer our invitation or decline our invitation, what can we do about that? we have invited many people to speak about on a number of topics, and they have either not responded to us or politely declined our invitation.
So you're, and
so
you're
what
not,
can we do?
You're not able to tell us who you invited around the Pentagon?
I am not at liberty to give out that information right now, no.
Lori,
I'm not speaking on behalf of the steering committee. I'm here because Paul kindly invited me.
It is very, very decent of you to be here. I want to reinforce that. We really appreciate you being able to be here to lend us some insight from the standpoint of the people that are putting the conference together. This is Ken, and I would just like to ask you a brief clarification of the last question, though, and that is, did you invite, you don't have to mention who they were, but did you invite some people who would have been able to give testimony regarding the Pentagon
yes.
issue?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Thanks. I appreciate you letting us know that. Okay. Who else would you like to?
At what point would you be able to tell us who those people are?
I can put it to the steering committee to ask if we can publicly post their acceptance or decline on our website. I think that that perhaps could be fair. If they have actually answered us and either if they have formally declined, I'm sure it would be fair to post it then, but I can ask. How would that be okay?
Thank you very much. Yes.
I'll make a note to ask them tomorrow.
And the NORAD stand down, anybody invited there?
Yes, we were looking into that, yes.
Thank you. Okay, anybody else want to ask a question or make a comment on this?
Well, Paul, I'd like to know what conclusion you came to around being disinvited once you raised these questions. What do you make of this?
Well, it's very rare to disinvite somebody. And I mean, they ought to do something horrendous to be disinvited. I didn't do anything horrendous. I asked a question or a couple of questions outstanding to the steering committee, and I got disinvited just on that basis. It's explicit from Adnan. I can't understand it. I can still talk about the financial aspects of 9/11 insider trading as much as I could 10 weeks ago or whatever, 10 days ago or whatever. And what I was asked to present, I'm as capable of presenting before and after I ask the question, so why would they disinvite me? I don't get it. And I would make another comment, as I said already, that it looks to me like Kevin Ryan was the lead on disinviting me only because he reacted so quickly that it's no opportunity to really do a democratic consultation with the steering committee.
Paul, would you be willing to forward to us the letter you got from Kevin Ryan in disinviting you?
I'd rather not. I did forward the Adnan's. I'd rather not forward Kevin. To tell you the truth, I really don't want to get. I mean, he raised some issues. He made some comments about my book, Hidden History of 9/11. He happens to have a piece in there. He made a comment about it. I really don't want to get into a debate with him, to tell you the truth. But
okay.
I also didn't really say the reason why I was disinvited, but Adnan's did, so therefore I did pass that one around.
Right. Okay, any other comments or questions on this issue? Because we're getting to the end of our time here.
Yes,
well,
Robin?
I would like to make a comment.
Yes, my sensibility is, like everything else, we shouldn't depend upon Toronto or any other particular group or aspect of what we're doing as being the final word. From my perspective and point of view, is you can take Toronto Hearings and you can replace it with the name 911.blogger.ca.
Okay. Anybody else want to make a comment or
ask a question? Sheila Casey, I would.
Sheila, make it pretty brief, please. We have one more issue we need to take care of before we leave. Go ahead.
Okay. What I'm concerned about looking at this is that this is yet another effort to marginalize the Pentagon and marginalize the evidence about a faked plane crash at the Pentagon, which is the single most incriminating thing that exists in the 9/11 truth movement. So looking at who they have here as their witnesses, I'm really, you know, quite concerned that when I see – I do see David Ray Griffin on there, and I know he believes that a plane crash was faked at the Pentagon. So that gives me, you know, a little bit of hope, but I don't feel a great deal of confidence in what's going to be happening in Toronto.
Okay.
Did anybody from the 9/11 free forums get invited or to this presentation or event?
I think she's made it clear that she can't talk about who has and who hasn't been invited at this point, so I don't think it's fair to press her on that. But I would like, in passing, before we leave this, to again thank Laura for being here and for sharing her insight from the standpoint of the trial hearings. And hopefully some of the feedback that you know we've heard today will be useful to her and maybe helping to you know create a very good balance in the trial hearings between the various issues.
I second that, Lord, Dr. Manville. Thank you very much. I appreciate your efforts, and all of us have something good to give. Nobody is perfect.
Laura, okay. I was just going to ask that, are the witnesses the same, are the speakers different than the witnesses?
No, the witnesses are the same as the speakers.
Okay.
And I do appreciate you inviting me here, and I guess I just have to say I'm just a bit disappointed that so many people are taking so many issues with this. I guess maybe I was a bit naive going into this whole Toronto hearings thing because I thought that we would be well supported in what we're trying to do. I am taking what you're saying very seriously, and I will take it to the steering committee on things that we need to consider. But I guess our main goal was just to try and bring irrefutable evidence within 4 days, within a very small budget that we have, a small time, limited resources, and just to make the mainstream media and government officials sit up and pay attention at the 10th anniversary. It was nothing, there was no ulterior motive or agenda to it.
Thank you, Laura.
Thank you very much, Laura. I appreciate that's a very good summary. We need to move on before we leave and talk about the timing of our next meeting, okay? Jonathan, unfortunately, is not here, and he was to get with Richard Gage to see if Richard was ever going to be able to be on any future calls. And I want to remind people that the reason why we have these calls as early as we do was primarily to accommodate Richard Gage, who could only be there that early. But since he has not been on the last 4 or 5 calls, it occurs to us that perhaps we could consider having a later time if people would find that more accessible to their busy schedules, the work schedules. So I want to just open up the possibility of changing that if people feel that would be good, or on the other hand, if people feel that this time works well for us, then we can continue on this time. So the floor is open for discussion on that.
This is Robin Horton. Later time would be excellent. I'm on the West Coast, so it would be great.
Anybody else?
Yeah.
What later time are you speaking of, Robin?
I'm not sure, but something after supper on the East Coast, you know, maybe 8, 9, you know, whatever, and then let the guys in the mid part of the country snack during the thing, and then us guys in the West Coast will have a discussion before dinner.
Okay, so you're proposing maybe a 5 o'clock Pacific time, 8 o'clock Eastern time possibility.
I'd say take a consensus. You've got a lot of people on your email list, and just simply ask them all what time would make it more likely that you would attend. You have a great list.
The problem with doing the email list. The problem with doing the when you say the email list, do you mean the listserv, or do you mean the list of invitees?
I think the people who the email is sent to, I'm not sure what the terms are that you're talking about. All I know is I read it down. It's like, holy cow, everybody's there.
Well, that's the email list. But the problem with that is there are a number of people on that who have never been on a single conference call. So the idea of this would be to make it accessible to the people who do routinely
No, Ken. The idea is to ask the people who have never been on this conference call if a different time of the conference call would make it more likely that they would be on the conference call.
But we did used to have it at a later time, and some of those people still were never on the conference call. So I'm saying that can't be the only reason why they haven't been on the conference
call. I'm not stating any reason. I'm stating a way to find out, to come to a decision to see if a later conference time call time would be functional, and then what that time would be. I'm just saying, do some research here. Just throw it out there, and what feedback you get is what you get. Then react to that.
Okay, the proposal is that we put out an open-ended request to all the invitees to submit responses as to whether, as to what time they think would be most available to them for a conference call.
Well, I'd elaborate a little bit and say there has been some concern that, you know, maybe we're not getting as many as we could, and that the West Coast people have expressed an interest in I thought, a very reasonable proposal to accommodate. I mean, mid-afternoon would be very inconvenient for a lot of people. As a matter of fact, I know some new person from Worcester, Massachusetts, who can't do it because she's caught in traffic at 6 o'clock. So, you know, that makes it hard for her on, you know, to, even though she's on the East Coast. And
Hello, this is Paul.
So what are you suggesting then that we should go, that we should consider this specific proposal that was made of a 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern time?
The general idea was to just get the, just to find out what people, what the most people would find the most convenient. And it was sort of a democratic question of democracy. What, you know, what which time would you vote for?
Well,
and,
can you pose a question to the panel? I mean, to the folk on the call, pose a question to see if who would object to, you know.
Right. That's what I was hoping we could try that and see how we feel about it, those who are present on this call, and then maybe we could take it to the larger list and see whether there's any objection to it if we propose it. Okay.
This is Robin. I would be very open to that type of a question, whatever it might be, because I'm not stuck on anything. But I would say that, remember, it's only an hour, and 9 o'clock is still, 9 to 10 is viable on the East Coast. It gives the central part a chance, and 6 o'clock I think is going to work a lot better for the West Coast.
Well, that's a little bit late because I've already been on conference calls with AE 911 Truth that were that late, and when you're somebody has to get up really early in the morning to go to work, it works harder on you the other way on the East Coast. Okay, so, but okay.
Put it to a vote.
I guess I thought what we were talking about was 5 and 8, but it sounds like it's moving more towards 6 and 9 now. Let me just ask this question openly. As a straw poll, or not a binding vote, how many people think we would be better to have the call later rather than at the current time? If you think it would be better later, say aye.
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 If you think it would be better to keep it as it is, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. It sounds like there's a pretty strong feeling that we would be better to move it later. Exactly when later isn't clear right now. But I guess what I could do is maybe send it out as a question format of a couple of different options of moving it later and seeing how people respond to those options and continue and ask about continuing along the same lines as a third option. Okay? So we could have like two different later times and then continue along the same lines and just see what the relative feedback is, and I could share that at the next teleconference.
So the person who said it wouldn't be good or wouldn't be better, does that person oppose to changing it to 9 o'clock? I mean, or could we just pose that question? Does anyone oppose to upping the time to 9 o'clock Eastern? Does anyone oppose that?
I am.
Yeah, I am too. I think that's a little bit on the late side personally, but
yeah,
I'm not opposed to
making
it later.
Yeah, I think of this as work. Like, I want to get work over with and then, you know, move on to, like, my social life.
Okay. Well, what I'll do if there's no objection is I will send a message to the list of invitees along with the draft minutes, suggesting that there's been a proposal to consider a later time, and we're looking at this time or this time as a later time, but we're also open to considering it at the same time if people feel strongly in that direction. And everyone is invited to send in feedback, all of which will be shared at the next teleconference. Okay, we'll summarize it and share at the next teleconference. Does that sound reasonable?
Yes, I suggest that you do 5, 6, 7 just to broaden the whole thing out. East Coast time. Three questions. Which would you prefer? Current, 5, 6, 7 Eastern time.
With the current,
I don't think anyone's going earlier.
Well, we
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. West Pacific time. Oh. Right. No, I would say 7, 8, 9.
Six would be continuing the same time. Okay.
Right.
Yeah, we'll do it that way. So
you just put three down. Not just two, but three.
Well, I'll put four down. I'll put same time, 7, 8, 9. Okay, and then that way people can let us know how it works. Okay, and then we'll look at that next conference. And the next teleconference will be on the 27th. At the same time for right now, so that would be 6 Eastern and 3 Pacific, right? Okay.
And I understand that Senator Gravel has said that he would participate on that call. Can someone confirm that?
Senator Gravel has not stated for sure that he will be on that particular call that I know of. He's actually said that he'll try to be on any call, but things come up where he can't. But he's been, George, can you speak to that?
I can certainly watch the agenda and make sure and keep him informed. Sometimes things slip by. He needs a schedule.
Right. Okay. Thank you all for your cooperation. And, we'll see you again on the 27th, okay? Have a good night.
Thank you all.
Thank you, Laura Manville. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Laura, very much for being here.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Thank you, Sheila.
Good night.
Bye.